Amen. You may be seated. And somebody said, well, you're sitting down to preach. Well, I do sometimes. We're going to pull up to the table, have a good spiritual meal. Amen. I mean, you know, actually, it's scriptural to sit down because that's what Jesus would sit down and talk to people. How many times you read that in there where it says he sat down and talked to people? So it's scriptural to sit down. All right. Okay. I'm going to talk about some things here, but and call it make the call. Make the call. It's not a touchdown. It's not a field goal until the referee makes the call and says it is. I don't care that you crossed the goal line. I don't care that the ball went between the uprights until he raises his hands and says that it is a field goal or it is a touchdown. It's not until he makes the call. A pitcher can throw the ball. He can come across the plate. The catcher can catch it. But until the umpire makes the call, it's not a ball or a strike. The pitcher just threw the ball to the catcher. That's all it is. Until he makes the call. You know, God has answers for our circumstances and situation. But those answers do not exist in our lives until we as believers make the call. Come on now. It's just another way of presenting faith. You know, Romans 4:17. Most of you know it. That's the story of Abraham. But most of you know that. I'm going to wait to let you give a chance to find it there. Romans 4:17. Okay? When I see people quit turning in their Bibles, I'll start reading. See, I got it already. You know, used to, we had to turn in our Bible ourselves. But now, with the computers, I can cut and paste and have all, I can have four or five different translations here. In fact, I got several here. All right, are we ready? Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now look at that last phrase. Calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now another translation says, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Another says it this way, the God who gives life to the dead and speaks things that don't yet exist as if they're real. Now, this is not an isolated place in the Word of God. This is the way God operates. You don't have to turn here. I'll just do the Isaiah 46:10. The first part says, declaring the end from the beginning. Now, part of the operation of faith is calling things that don't yet exist as though they do. That's part of the operation. See, that's how God operates by faith, by calling those things as if they already exist. God required Abraham to operate the same way. He had to call himself the father of many before he had any. Come on now. He had to do that. God expects us to operate in the same way. He expects us to call the things that are not as though their way were according to the Word of God. Right. Call ourselves healed by the Word of God. Call ourselves blessed by the Word of God. Hello? Because that's what the Bible says. See, you can call those things that God has said in the Word of God. You can call them as though they exist, even though you don't see them in the natural right now. See, that's often the most difficult part of faith. That is calling that you don't see in the natural, you don't feel in the natural, you don't have in the natural, to call it into existence when it's not there. Now, God made the call when he called Abraham the father of many. Now, he changed Abram's name to Abraham. which means father of many. Now, if you don't, I mean, if you go back and study the Word of God, you'll find out that all of their names had a meaning. You find out that each name that a person was given had a meaning. You know, sort of like some of the of our Native Americans around here in Oklahoma, and probably some of you are probably that. In the olden time, they would give the names according to what, you know, like Running Deer or whatever, you know, and because of that. But in the Word of God, people's names meant something. The name meant something. In other words, you know, and also you will find out that they wore certain outer cloaks that said their who they were in life, their station in life. Remember the blind Bartimaeus Mark 6, 10:46, where it says that he left his cloak when Jesus called him. Well, what he left was a cloak that he wore that said, "I am a blind beggar." And, you know, he left that. Why? Because he knew he wasn't going to need that anymore. I mean, he was calling himself healed before he ever got to Jesus. Okay, here we go. Now, God didn't wait till Sarah was pregnant before he called Abraham by a new name. Hello? He gave Abraham a new name when there was no evidence of any son anywhere. That's the way God operates. He calls things that are not yet as though they were. This is how he created the world. Go to Hebrews 11:3. Hebrews 11:3. See, God's making the call, and we got to make the call. I'll get more into that in a minute. Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's him calling it into existence. So that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. There wasn't anything visible when he created it. His words created it. The power of God is released when you create it with your words. You create with your words. God said, "Let there be light," and there was. Right? Go read it in first chapter of Genesis. Words are a powerful force. Words are actually one author that I read after, he says words are containers. They either contain with doubt, hate, despair, despondency, disappointment, and all kinds of negativism. Or they are filled with love, joy, peace, all kinds of positive things. You know, you create an atmosphere in your house with your words. You create an atmosphere on the job with your words. Words create an atmosphere. Actually, turn to Proverbs 18:21. Turn to Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21. Okay. The New King James says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Now, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What is the power of the tongue? Words. Words. Now, in the one of the other translations here, I got it on my phone here. I got the Bible on my phone, my iPad. I got it right here. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. In other words, doesn't mean whether you talk life or whether you talk death, you're going to get what you talk. That's what it's saying. Now, look at the Amplified Bible says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for life or death." That's what it's saying right here. Your words carry with it the power to create your world. In fact, I got a whole series of messages I pray. In fact, there's a book on it out there. I believe they put it in a book, Create the World You Want to See. I know it's on CDs. I think it's out there in the book. Did they write Create the World You Want to See. Well, what am I talking about? I'm talking about taking what the Word of God says and calling, create with your words what the Word says. Amen. Hello. Amen. You see, you know, if we ever really get this revelation, man, the devil can't run over us anymore. He can't take us down to Primrose Lane. I mean, he's had it. Now, see, we're talking about God making the call. Now, Abraham made the call. And that's what I want to get to you to make the call. See, he called himself the father of a son when he didn't have any at all. Now, imagine Abraham sticking out his hand saying, my name is Abraham, father of many. When there was no prospect of any children in sight, he's still making the call. He's still making the call. Now, I imagine that there was some reactions because people are people. I don't care if it's Bible days or back years ago or what it is. People are people. And I'm sure whenever he's going around saying that, there'd be some people saying, hey, look at that old man. Because he was, you know, go read the Bible. Hey, look at that old man. He's gone senile. Come on. I'm sure that he had some criticism. I'm sure he had some ridicule. I'm sure he had some accusation. Man, he's lying. What's the matter then? He's lying. He's not the father of any. And yet he's calling himself the father of many. That's what Abraham means, father of many. Well, you know what? When you start making the call and calling things that the Word of God says belongs to you, when you start making that call, there's a lot of people that are going to say, man, what's the matter with them? They done flipped out. What's the matter with them? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever been there? Yeah. See, Abraham had to make a choice to make the call and have a son and remain silent and have nothing. Abraham began to say what God said. He began to make the call. God made the call. Now Abraham made the call. God has made the call right here in the Word of God for us. And now we have to begin to make the call. God has already made the call. Now, what are we going to call it? We're going to call ourselves sick or we're going to call ourselves well? We're going to call ourselves blessed or we're going to call ourselves in a mess. I mean, it's whatever, you know. Abraham was calling himself the father of many because God called him the father of many. God made the call. He made the call. We're going to have to get to the point that we make the call of what God's already made the call on right here. All right? Go back to the football. You can hear an announcer on the, you know, even though a person crosses the goal line, that person that's the announcer, he doesn't call it a touchdown until the referee makes the call. Then he calls it. God called it. Now we call it. See, it doesn't make any difference what that announcer says. If that referee hadn't made the call, his call doesn't mean anything. Our call doesn't mean anything unless it lines up with what God called. How many understand what I'm saying to you? How many getting a hold of this? All right. Now, you know, Abraham, God gave Abraham two things to help him to continue to make the call when he didn't have any. His name, for one, Abraham. Then he gave him a picture, a visual reminder. Remember, he told Abraham, your descendants will be as the number as the sands you walk on and the stars that you see in the sky. Anybody ever read that over there in the Old Testament? Yeah. See, God will reveal the word to you And then he'll give you a picture in your mind as you consider it, ponder it, meditate upon it. And then you can begin to make the call. Now, more than likely, Abraham had to battle two things. And we will have to battle two things when we make the call. Okay? First of all, the thoughts of his mind. He had to battle that. See, fear led him to lie about his wife down in Egypt. Called her his sister. Secondly, he had to deal with what others said. His wife told him, okay, Abraham, I'm not having any child. You go ahead and you take Hagar, my maid, and we have a child with her. He did, and it's caused a problem ever since. Still causing a problem today. But those two things he had to deal with. You will have to deal with those when you make the call. You're going to have to deal with what other people say. You're going to have to deal with your own thoughts. Now, we must make the call of speaking God's promises before they come into existence in our life. You know, God requires that we begin to make the call, even though they don't exist, even though you don't feel it, even though you don't see it. We must make the call as if it's already there. Amen. We must make the call as if it's already there. Now, you see, God used his word as a creative power. Abraham used his words to activate the creative power of God in his life. He used God's word to activate the power of God in his life. God expects us to speak words that will activate the word of God in our lives. You hear? You're going home already. You're really thinking. I can see some of your wheels are really turning. Let's go to Mark 11:23. I mean, if anybody knows anything about the Hagen ministry, knows that this is our cornerstone verse. This is what we built on. Mark 11:23. Actually, if you go back and you read the whole story, it's where Jesus cursed the fig tree. He said it, words. And he said, nobody eat any fruit hereafter. Now, they walked back by that same fig tree that night. That was in the morning time. And that fig tree was still looked like it was alive. But they went back by the next day. And his disciples said, look at the tree. And Jesus said, yeah, you have faith in God. Mark 11:22. Or have the faith of God, or a literal translation would be have the God kind of faith. And then he goes on in 11:23 and tells you what the God kind of faith is. It makes the call. See, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed, be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. I want you to notice that he is saying here, you make the call. You say it. Before anything ever happens. Before you see anything. Before you feel anything. You say it. You make the call. Now, all of you know that we have an airplane that enables us to go around the world and preach the gospel to 210 Bible schools in 49 nations now. And this past summer we were at Haiti, Australia, Samoa, Canada, and Norway ministering. And, you know, I mean, I've been busy this summer. But we're going there, and we have this plane. Now, for years, Lynette and I, we call that plane paid off. Every time we got on the plane. In fact, Patrick playing the piano here, he's one of our crusade team. that travels with us on the road. He's been on that plane with us and knows that we join every time before we leave the ground. Wherever we're at, we pray, you know, and thank God for the aircraft and what it helps us accomplish for the kingdom of God. And then we say every system on that plane will operate properly, no malfunctions of any kind whatsoever. Pilots will fly to the best of their ability. And we'll have good flying weather with no turbulence. And we call this aircraft paid off. We did that for 10 years. But we kept saying it. We kept calling, making the call. It's paid off now. Today that plane's paid off. But for years we made the call. What I'm trying to get over to you, make the call. Abraham made, we did 10 years. Abraham made the call for at least 17 years, maybe 23. Depends on which chronological source you want to go read after. You know, you can go after different chronological sources, tell you, well, this happened during this time or this happened this. You can see it in some of the Bibles that said, well, this was written in such and such. And you may see another person that was saying, no, we believe it's written in this. Nobody really knows the real date, but they're approximate, okay? Make the call before it actually happens. There was no light until God said there was light. There was no sun until Abraham said that he was the father of many. There will be no promise of God in your life until you make the call. You call it into existence. We've got to learn to speak the promises of God even when we have no evidence that it's actually happening. We still got to make the call. Now, how many of you have a credit card or ever gotten a credit card? Is there not a little strip that you have to peel off there and it says, call this number? Until you make the call, that card is no good to you. You have to activate it. The Word of God can be there in your hand, but until you make the call, it's no good to you. It's not activated. That card, you can carry it in your wallet. You can carry it everywhere you go. Somebody got a credit? Yeah, I got a credit card. But until you make the call, it doesn't. You can't get anything with it. You can't do anything with it. It's just a card in your billfold. You can carry the Bible around with you. You can even quote the Bible. But until you begin to make the call for yourself that these promises are reality in your life, they're just words that you're saying. Anybody understand what I'm saying to you? We've got to make the call. Hello? You know, we make the call all the time on things that we don't have. How many of you have ever gotten approval for a loan? And you go and tell, oh, I got the approval for this loan. I'm going to buy this car. And you don't have it yet because you haven't even, it's not, you don't have it until you sign the papers. And you may do that a couple of days from now. You just got the word. They made the call. They said, yeah, we will loan you the money. Now you go out and you make the call. And you haven't seen any money yet. Oh, we bought a house today. The house is not yours until you sign those papers. Right. To the closing. But you make the call on it. Why? Because the people told you the house is yours. They made the call. Now you make the call on what they said. Amen. Is that not correct? Yeah. You know, we go out and tell people all the time, oh, so-and-so said he's going to give me this or give me that. You make the call on it on what they said. Not, you don't even have it yet. See, it's the same, works the same way with the promises of God. You make the call on it before you actually have it. Now, others may criticize you. Some people may even call you and say you're lying. But the simple truth is, we must make the call. to get to activate these promises into our lives. So go ahead and make the call. All right? Make the call. A little exhortation that I got here at the end. I'm going to read it to you when I got it here. When you begin to call those things that are not yet as though they were, then you'll see the promises come into your life, and oh, what a difference that will make for you. Your life will change for the better, and you'll be glad you made the call. Amen. Hallelujah. That's just a little something from the Spirit that I got. Now, I want to give you some practical help to make the call, okay? Find the promise of God that covers what you're calling. You know, whatever it is, need, whatever need it is. And then put it on a 3x5 card and carry it around with you. And read it all the time. Make the call all the time. Abraham made the call all the time. I'm Abraham. I'm Abraham. I'm Abraham. 17 years or 20 to 23, somewhere in that period, according to all chronological people. He made the call. You make the call. Make the call. Make the call. Read and speak the promise as often as you need it until it appears. Call, make the call as a part of your life until you see it. I got another sermon sometimes I preach. It's called Say It Till You See It. You know, well, that's what the Bible says. Say to the mountain. Say it. Actually, this is just another little way, a different way of talking about making the confessions to say what God's word says and get them to activate it in your life. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Amen. Then make the call. Make the call. All right. You know, over at the Broken Arrow campus today, we had back to school Sunday, and actually I did a sermon on words, and I put a little bit of it in here tonight. But and we prayed for the kids. So where's Greg at? If we'll bring the kids in, I want to pray for them. Some of them already started to school, and I know over my two of my grand, I got five grandsons, and one of them's already out of high school. He's a 21, but the other four are all in school, and I know two of them have already started, and the other two start this week, and so probably here some of them already started school, some will be going this week. So, and I just want the kids to come and stand here, and we're just gonna pray over them, and if we have any teachers, and you teach in school, you know. I want you to come and stand with the kids because we want to pray for you too, because you have a tremendous job with what the system is doing to you today in teaching school. I have one of my coaches that coaches in one of the high schools in Tulsa come and say all the coaches are in very upset. They had a meeting and they told all of them, they said, we are going to have to allow cross-gender or whatever they call it, transgender. If a person says they're a boy and they're a girl, then they play boy sports. If a boy says he's a girl, he plays... I better be quiet. I didn't know these in here. Sorry. But that's what these school teachers are facing, these coaches are facing, you know. But the world's coming exactly what it says. Go read Romans 1:26. First, go read it. Paul called it right there. That's exactly what's happening here today. Kids, come on. Come on. We're going to pray over you. Stand right here in a group. All y'all stand up. It doesn't matter whether you got kids here or grandkids down here. Stand in a big group. Come on. Come on. Come on. Just group up right here. Come on in. Here comes the big kids from youth. Now, come on in, guys. They're, you know, these young people and these students, they're a part of our extended families. When in a church, it's extended family. If we got any teachers, school teachers, I want you to come. All right, reach your hands out toward them. I'm going to pray over. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these young people. I thank you for these students. I thank you that their minds will be sharp and clear this year. I thank you that they'll make good grades. They'll have wisdom and knowledge. They'll know how to attack every situation that comes into their life. They'll let you live inside of them big. Help them, Father, to realize what the Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We thank you that that is so in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, kids, with you and Jesus, you can be anything and do anything you want to do. You just got to believe you can do it. You got to believe, say, I can do it, and quote the word. That's Philippians 4:13. Go learn it. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. Everybody bow your head for just a moment. Is anybody here that would like to receive salvation or rededicate their life to God or have a no-so experience with God? Because some people go to church, but they don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ or not. Anybody? Praise the Lord. Anybody want to be prayed for healing before we leave tonight? If so, let me see your hand right now. If you want to be prayed for, all right, come on down. Praise God. Stand right here. Praise the Lord. We'll pray for healing. Anybody else want to come on? Vince, right here. Anybody else want to be prayed for? Come stand right here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, right now. Right here. Reach your hands out here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for healing power flowing into this body right now. The power of God, that healing power, will flow out and flow into this body. Drive out sickness and disease. I thank you for healing right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the healing power of God to flow into this body. It's done in the name of Jesus. There's the healing power. Thank God for it. Raise your hands and thank God. Healing power flowed into them right now. They're well in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, next Sunday night, be here. 6:00. Bring somebody. Tell somebody about this place. Come and be a part. All right. Hey, I'm going to go back here to the door to shake hands. My wife will go at the other door. We're going to shake your hands before we leave. You shake hands with somebody. Remember, get one of those volunteer forms out there and get involved, all right? So we can't do a lot of things until we get some volunteers. All right. God bless. We'll see you next week. Praise the Lord.